Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Lesson 129, Man's Response to God's Mercy. In our last lesson, we heard Paul praise God for His great mercy extended to both Jews and Gentiles. Today we are going to hear Paul exhort Christians to respond to God's mercy in the only reasonable way, which is through a life of dedication to God and godly Christian behavior. As we've been studying the book of Romans from chapter 1 to 11, we have covered the doctrine of the gospel. We learn that all men are guilty sinners before God, and that God has provided justification through faith in Jesus Christ. We learn not only about God's justification, but also about the doctrine of sanctification, that is, making us more and more like the Lord Jesus in character and conduct. Then we also learned about God's eternal plan to glorify all those who have trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the past three chapters have been an explanation of God's dealings with Israel in the past, present, and future, and how the gospel also includes them, though for now they have been set aside due to unbelief. Now, after unfolding God's wonderful love and mercy through the gospel, Paul will now call upon Christians to respond to this gospel in the only fitting manner. The gospel is the most extraordinary message of God's favor towards mankind. When we come to realize all that He has done for us and shall do for us, it ought to make us very grateful and also willing to live our lives entirely for God and His purposes. Imagine if you were diagnosed with a terminal sickness, and the doctor said, "Unless you receive a kidney transplant, you will surely die." Then some very kind person decides that they will offer to you their own kidney, and as a result of the operation, the donor loses his own life, but you are spared. You would be very grateful to that donor and probably want to honor their name. If you knew that the donor's dying wish was that you look after the welfare of his children, I think you would be quite motivated to do so, since someone lost their life to save your life. Really, you would owe your life to that donor, wouldn't you? Well, that is similar to what Jesus has done for us, but He has done so much more than this. Jesus died to give us eternal life and to save us from death and the torturous flames of hell. His dying wish was that we would serve in His kingdom and bring others to know Him also. It is only fitting and reasonable that we should dedicate ourselves entirely to His cause, for He is our Savior. So Paul writes to the Roman believers to present their bodies as a living sacrifices to God. This is not dead sacrifices as in the Old Testament times, but this means that a person is willing to dedicate their lives to serving the Lord. He adds that we need to have our whole way of thinking transformed, no longer thinking as the world thinks, but thinking according to the mind of Christ and eternal realities. Next, Paul will talk to the Christians about how to serve within the body of Christ, that is, his church. Just as a body is made up of many unique parts and each one serves a specific function, so each member in the body of Christ has been specifically gifted by the Lord to perform some specific function or ministry. No one should think of themselves too highly, but should think soberly and according to the measure of their faith. God honors honesty and humility among His children, but pride will be resisted. This is especially important if everyone in the church is to get along and each perform according to the gift they have received from the Lord. There are many spiritual gifts listed in this section, and we don't have time to describe each of these gifts, but we should note that these gifts are supernatural abilities given by God for the building up of the church. The gifts are not the same as natural talents like singing or cooking. Spiritual gifts are discovered through applying oneself to the Lord's work and encouraged by spiritual leadership. The gifts are not meant for selfish gain or pride, but for the spiritual help of others. Paul lists only six spiritual gifts here in Romans 12, namely prophecy, teaching, ministry, exhortation, giving, and mercy. There are many more spiritual gifts mentioned at other places in the New Testament, but these are given here to encourage the believers to become familiar with them and use these gifts effectively and appropriately. The remaining part of this chapter provides a list of things that should characterize Christian conduct. All these things should be the result of our fitting response to God's mercy shown to us. Paul speaks of loving without hypocrisy, clinging to what is good and hating evil. He speaks also of kind affection and brotherly love, honoring and giving preference to others, being diligent, fervent, serving, rejoicing, patient, prayerful, generous, caring for others, and blessing those who persecute us. Christians are also called on to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. This shows not only a selfless attitude, but a genuine love and concern for others, which helps others to see Christ in us. Christians should share the same mind with each other. This does not mean my opinion or your opinion, but both of us sharing in Christ's opinion. We should be willing to associate with those in a lower position than ourselves, whether by age, wealth, or circumstance. We are not to be wise in our own opinions or repay evil with evil, but rather with good. We are to strive for peace with everyone and leave vengeance to the Lord, for He is a just judge. We are to treat our enemies with kindness and thereby overcome evil by our good. The Christian life is a remarkable life of love, sacrifice, and humility. When others see these things in us, they will see Christ, and perhaps they too will be drawn to place their trust in Him for salvation. Be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 10.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learned how Christians should respond to God's mercy by living a dedicated and godly life, serving with the spiritual abilities which God has given to each of His children. Someone might ask the question, how can I know what my spiritual gift is? It is clear from the teachings of the New Testament that God has given a gift to each and every child of God. Peter speaks of this individual gifting in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. We also find teaching about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in Ephesians chapter 4. When we put all these passages together, we shall find that there are at least 21 various spiritual gifts listed in the New Testament. Time will not allow us to describe all of these gifts today, but if you take time to study these passages, you will learn more about the gifts and their specific uses. We mentioned in our lesson today that spiritual gifts are usually discovered while we are busy doing the Lord's work. Often young believers may not have a clear idea about what their spiritual gift is, but they can apply themselves to some work for the Lord. Often it becomes evident when working in some ministry for the Lord that certain spiritual abilities will be seen, and this will help identify a spiritual gift. For instance, let's say a young Christian wants to help in a church ministry, and the leadership asks them to help with setting up chairs for Sunday school class. That might seem like a trivial responsibility, but it will show if a person is willing to serve no matter what task they are given. And by looking at their attitude, the leadership can determine if they can handle greater responsibilities like teaching or evangelism. If someone is given the chance to try to evangelize, it might be evident that they are enjoying sharing the gospel with others and are actually quite gifted to do so. As they apply themselves more and more to this, the gift begins to shine brighter and brighter, and everyone becomes aware of their gift operating in this area. The same holds true for ministries in teaching, giving, visitation, administration, leading, serving, shepherding, etc. While working in any of these various ministries, a person's spiritual gift will usually become evident to themselves and others. When leaders recognize the spiritual gift, they can encourage a direction in ministry which is best suited to that gift. We must not be overly concerned with trying to know or even boast in some gift, for it is not always easy to discern a gift, particularly for immature Christians. Our responsibility is to serve in the church and find a ministry where we can be useful for the Lord. Sometimes a gifted evangelist may be called upon to preach to the church. He will likely focus his preaching on the gospel, but that is okay since that is where his gift leads him. And undoubtedly there are people who will need to hear the gospel preached. There may be someone gifted to teach, and yet they find themselves involved with an evangelism ministry. Again, this too is fine, for the Lord will use the teaching ability to help people understand the gospel message and respond to it. Spiritual gifts do not need to be isolated to some particular ministry, and no ministry should be isolated to a particular gift. It is often the case that God will direct gifts to be used in a variety of ways and in a variety of ministries. Of course, it will be ideal for the teacher to find himself in a teaching ministry and the evangelist to find himself in evangelism ministry. But we need not be so restrictive when the need calls for teaching evangelists or evangelistic teachers. If you are wondering what your spiritual gift might be, you might want to ask some mature believers who know you well or the spiritual leaders in your church. Mature Christians should have learned what their own spiritual gift is and what the Bible teaches about gifts, so they should be able to help you recognize your own gift. It is very important for every Christian to think about their spiritual gift and seek to discover what it is, because God has provided that gift for you to use to help the church. Remember, if you can sing well, that is not a spiritual gift, it is a talent. It might be a wonderful talent which you can use to glorify the Lord, but it is not your spiritual gift. There are some spiritual gift questionnaires available online which are not the best way to discover spiritual gifts, but they can certainly help a person to consider what their gifting might be. It has been my observation that those who are most busy for the Lord often display a greater degree of gift in several areas, though one gift usually stands out as the strongest. And the opposite is also true, that those who do little for the Lord display the least amount of gift, and any gift is difficult to discern. So find a work to do for the Lord. If your church does not provide you any ministry opportunities, perhaps you can think of something on your own to do for the Lord, like distributing gospel tracts, visiting the sick in the hospital, or teaching Bible studies to neighborhood children. Keep busy, and God will direct you and increase and bless your work. And by this, you will discover your spiritual gift and be able to fulfill the ministry that God has called you to do. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and 5.
By thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure.
just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus, if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. He's my heart. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
How beautiful the hands that served the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful the feet that walked the long dusty roads and the hill to the cross. How